No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. And Dennis is helping us out today as well as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Okay, so, you know, last week we talked about the fact that Dennis was nice enough to send me a drone. I had received this package in the mail from Amazon.
And Keith and I proceeded to try to fly it during the show.
And broke it, of course.
It looked like it was working fine.
Oh, it looked like it was working fine enough until I got my hands on it.
Then you broke it.
No, I was like, hey, it's not working. What the heck is going on? It looks right.
Did you read the directions?
Well, eventually I had to.
Oh, right? Man. If he had a man card, we'd take it.
Well, yep. I appreciate the fact that Dennis got me one of these little mini drones. I didn't know that till showtime last week that it came from him. I thought it was just the guys at Amazon were being nice, but it was Dennis. And I thank you, Dennis. And it took me a while to figure out what, you know, Ed and Keith had broken on this thing last week.
We didn't break anything.
Yeah, you had broken one of
the props.
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't I believe that because it did hit hard in a couple places.
Yeah, and you know, but it looked normal, and I finally it was interesting. It was kind of like an aviation thing because I did actually learn something because one of the props after I looked at it real close, I didn't look at the directions. That'd have been too easy. I looked at the props themselves, and there was one prop where the edge of it looked like it, you know, bumped into something and it sanded down just slightly on the end tip.
Yeah.
So it had the tip of the prop looked slightly different than the other three. Mm-hmm. You know, which one doesn't look like the other?
That's Sesame Street.
Yeah, and I applied that logic to discovering that this one was odd, and every time I, you know, hit the throttle on this thing, it would just flip over. And it wouldn't work. And I was like, well, it's because that prop is not being as efficient as it should. It doesn't have the aerodynamics to do its job. So it was just flipping over with the power of the other three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I took the prop off, replaced it with one of the many that are supplied as extras. Thank God. There's like eight of them.
Well, extras. Did that solve the problem?
It did. And
so you can fly.
I can fly this thing.
Prove it.
Into my forehead, as you can see from the scar right there. I can fly it into the wall. You know, and you know, it's just...
So that's basically what Keith and I were doing, because we flew it into you, or towards you, and
then we flew it into the
box on the other side of the room.
I can fly it a little longer than you guys did last week.
Oh, okay.
So I can bring it up, and then, you know, I start futzing with it a little bit, and I chase the cat.
You say he can get it up and futz with it?
Yeah. That's what she said.
Just leave that alone.
And so
I had to go there.
So yeah, I start chasing the cat, as you know you would,
mm-hmm.
And then I lose control. You know,
this all sounds like euphemisms.
Maybe. The whole show is that way, pretty much. So
yeah, I just got that one. Sorry.
So I'm doing this, and I'm trying to get the hang of it, and then slowly but surely, I'm getting the idea. You know, still not real stable. And then my son shows up.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You figured out in 2 seconds?
He goes, well, can I try? I'm like, you're going to bust it. Ed and Keith did it, and they threw it and broke it and stuff. So be real careful. So sure enough, he takes it. I said, you press this button to take off. He takes off, and he's like, yeah, flying around like he's been doing it for years. I'm like, what the hell
it's
is
the
going
Xbox
on?
Generation.
Yeah, his thumbs are trained to work game controls like that.
Yeah, he's like, this is easy. I'm like, what do you mean this? You know, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, okay, don't give in. Don't let him know that you're angry that he can pull this off so quickly. And then I was like, after he did it, I'm like, oh. And I say, I don't know how you do this. Oh, you just press. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
And see, so the hardest part is just putting yourself into that first person perspective. And for a person that's used to flying, you know, playing those shooter games and stuff like that, you're constantly controlling that character on screen, and you're making them turn the direction and you already have yourself in that mindset of controlling it from inside.
Okay.
And when you go and grab that airplane, you're looking at it and you're trying to look at it. I want to turn left, so I turn right. And you have to put yourself in the cockpit of the drone. Mm. And that's something that's very hard for pilots to do.
Well, after I, you know, took the controls back and saw what he did, and I'm like, okay, I got it. And then I took off and flew it right into my forehead. No! So I'm still trying to get the hang of it. But it's interesting because some of those skills as a pilot, you know, whether you, like you said, picture yourself in the cockpit or not, you know, they do come into play. There's ailerons and the whole thing.
There's no ailerons.
Yeah, there is. There's an aileron switch on the controller, isn't there, Dennis? You know.
It's a bank. It's not okay. Truly ailerons.
But well, they call it, does, ailerons it affects, in the owner's manual.
It makes it roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
So roll control.
I guess. I haven't quite figured out what that aileron button does.
You didn't figure out what
it
the
beeps
did
when
an
I
airplane.
Press it. It beeps. Well, Matt,
Wadley
too.
Figures out that if you press the button, it'll actually do a flip in the direction that he turns the stick next. It'll actually do a complete 180.
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure I get the hang of it, you know, to keep it from flying into my forehead before. I've already chased down the cat. I did chase down the cat and, like, attached to her.
No,
it like flew right under the cat, and then I hit the throttle, and it went up into her belly, and then got tied up in the hair, and she's running like a mess. Oh, where's the SPCA?
Oh, where's PETA?
Yeah,
Humane Society line two. Anyway, it was very enjoyable, but yeah, you know, it's a fun little toy. I mean, I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I would, to be honest. I just
it's amazing what $20 will get you these
yes,
days.
Yes,
you know?
I'm hip.
There's a lot of technology packed into that thing for $20.
Yeah,
so true.
I might have to look that up and get me one.
Yeah,
I mean, chase the dog cheap. Around. He's looking for some.
This
know.
Is one of those little micro drones. It's not even what 2-3 inches in diameter or whatever.
But is it's it got to be? One. Does it have to be FAA certified?
I think it's under it's under 0.55 ounces or whatever it is. I think it's under the limit.
Yeah, under 55 pounds.
No.
Right. Oh,
no.
It's oh, I, oh
half
that's
an
right.
ounce.
Half an ounce is you don't have to register.
Half an ounce, you don't have to
but
register.
But it can still poke somebody's eye out.
You can take 4 ounces of liquid.
Pet for life.
You can take 4 ounces of liquid on an airplane, but if your drone is 4 ounces or more than half an ounce, it has to be registered.
Ah, right.
So it comes from the mines that brought you 4 ounces on your airplane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It should come with some warning, you know, the emotional stress, you know, you can inflict on your family pets.
I think it says not for children under the age of 13 or something like that.
I'm Greg. Sure I didn't get
not
that
for
far.
For children under age 13 or Greg.
I did not get that far. But anyway, it is fun. Dennis, thank you. And,
no problem.
Ed, don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
I'm flying it before we're done.
I know you're going to break it.
And I'm flying it before we're done. I'm going to have Max come in here and show me how to do it.
I'm down to my last 3 or 4 props. So, you know.
I think we've proven that if Greg can learn to fly it, anybody can fly it. We had to put a link to it up on Amazon up on your webpage.
True.
So. There you go.
Well, just mini drone.
It's been tested.
mini drone on Amazon or anyway. They're like $25, $29, something like that. That's what I saw. But cool little thing. And I don't know. I mean, learning to fly something like that would help your piloting skills. I mean,
so would getting out to the airport.
Well, yeah,
well,
that would be
on,
way
let's
more.
Not stretch it, Dennis.
But would it, I mean, well, I don't know. You've had one of these things for a while. Do you find it helpful with your flying abilities, Dennis? Or
not really. It doesn't really translate much.
Not at all?
Yeah, I mean, at least you're playing with, you know, flying stuff on the days that you can't, like today when it's 50 miles an hour winds outside.
Right.
Oh, so you're going to take a drone outside today?
Well, yeah. No, you're doing
yeah,
it
yeah, you'll have it tomorrow.
It'll be down here that quick?
Yeah, by itself.
Well, you could. I mean, and it gives you some, I mean, it's, you know, you don't pick up the same skills as a simulator, but wouldn't it be like one step below a sim?
No.
Not at all?
No. I mean, you don't have that perspective of looking out the window and feeling, you know, the position and your horizon.
Because if it was, Keith and I would have had it figured out immediately.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't believe it. But they'll make planes flying like these eventually. Don't they already have some? Do they have some planes that operate like an Xbox controller? Probably do, don't they? Are you sure?
I saw somebody's got a little drone that you can ride on that's got four props on the corner, and you know, basically it's just a scaled up version of what you have.
Well, you know what? Airbus put out a press release on some new thing. What do they call it? The up go, pop go, something. Let's see, what is this thing called? I got a news release on it. And, you know, it's like flying in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Airbus pop-up. So they've come up with this kind of like module type of thing that, or passenger pod that, you know, a drone comes in, flies over it, picks it up, it flies you to someplace. Then they put it on tracks like a train or wheels, a wheelbase for a car. So there, see? That would operate like that.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
A touch of my hand and you shall fly.
It's my time to fly! Yeah!
Yeah! This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Ed, and Dennis helping us out as well today. All right, so look, you know, we're not far from thinking about our plans for Sun and Fun, you know, the Super Bowl or our spring break of aviation, right?
Yeah, that's an old moniker.
They don't like that anymore. But, you know, it's still, I kind of like it. I'm old school that way. But it's really, they want to get away from, you know, the wet t-shirt contest things and that kind of stuff. So, you know, you can't blame them. They want to make it more family
oriented. I don't
think
they ever had wet t-shirt contests at Sun and Fun.
Well, they did, but
we should start that.
The women were like 60 and over. So they said, that's not good marketing. So
yeah,
they.
That or was man boobs.
True. It could have been a bit of that. You know, the old belly flop, you know, contest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be kind of fun to watch because God knows they'd have a lot of ringers that would show up for that. But
empty the pool.
Yeah, well, true. So anyway, it is coming up, and I know
what
Dennis.
What are the dates?
Well, the dates are, what are they?
April 4th to the 9th, I believe.
Yeah.
That's about right.
It's the first week of April.
Yeah, Tuesday through Sunday, and I'm planning to go out there. Are we going to go do our thing or what, Ed? What are you thinking?
I thought you had that all arranged.
Well,
I thought you were in charge of this operation.
Well, I talked to Keith about it, and we did talk about going, but we haven't picked our days yet. So,
well, the press conferences are on Monday, so I think that's a must.
We got to go Monday before it even opens?
That's the press day. Are we not press?
Well, we're press, but I like
we
meeting.
Could arrange, you know, interviews. And
well, we could do that, or we could go be like normal people and go when everybody else does. That's kind of what I was thinking. I want to go to the Wednesday night night show. And
have fun with that.
And I bring it up because Dennis was talking to me before the show today and saying, hey, what were your plans for Sun and Fun? You know, now that I've flown Ed and Keith's plane there at Flight Training Professionals, you think they'd just give me one to fly over to Sun and Fun?
Oh, is that what he thought, or was that you talking?
Well,
actually, it was my. I'm guilty on this one.
Yeah,
I was just thinking
see?
That, you know, might if one or both of you are coming with, maybe we make it into a Just Plane Radio show trip and fly into the show.
Ooh.
And well, then fly back out.
Yeah, we
and
did
that. Way
we,
I don't
yeah,
have to camp.
But we did that already.
Okay. Yeah, but that was years ago.
And it wasn't Dennis flying, right?
That's right.
There you go.
It wasn't
see,
Dennis flying.
For once, this is about me.
Well, I would go
well,
with
let's
him.
Put it this way, Dennis. I've done that enough times. I'm not sure I want to do it again.
Really? Didn't you have fun last time we did it?
I've done it enough times that it's like, okay, I'm not sure I want to do it all that much.
Well, I was thinking we go let Dennis fly and
okay.
camp out under the wing. We haven't done that. Have you done that before?
No, I haven't done
see,
that before.
See, I think that would be, you know, part of the experience. That's why
April is too late to camp in Florida.
Too late?
It's too late in the season to camp in Florida.
What, if it's above 80, is that your threshold? What is it?
March is too late to camp in some cases.
Mm.
And then we've had a warm winter.
Well, yeah, but it cools off in the evening.
It needs the daily temperature can't get above 70 for me to want to camp in Florida.
Hmm.
See, I'm guessing that your idea of camping is very similar to mine. Roll in with the motor home, fire up the generator, and turn on the air conditioning.
Oh, you guys are
no,
glampers.
No, no, no.
You're
no,
glampers.
No.
Come
I'm in a 2-man tent with a sleeping pad that I carry in on a backpack. I'm you know fully geared
You're
up.
Ready
for,
to rough
for,
it.
For that stuff, I don't need much of anything, but I don't like the heat of Florida in camping. I mean, and I've camped through the summer in Florida, so I have had all those experiences. And if I don't have to, I'm not gonna.
Well, what if we get to that week and the weather looks, you know, comfortable?
Well, if it looks cold,
well,
meaning nights in the 50s, low 50s, then I'll think about it.
No, oh, that's too cold.
That's perfect sleeping weather.
50s? Nah, 50s. That's too... What do you think, Dennis? That's too cold. Come on.
If you get out of the tent and you can't see your breath, it's not cold enough.
What? You're crazy. You know, it doesn't matter, though, because if we were under the wind, or under the wing, I mean, it would be... There'd hopefully be a nice breeze. It'd be nice and cool and, you know...
He's making it up.
Yep, no.
You don't think?
It's not going to work, because then you get the hot sticky in the afternoon, you got nowhere to cool off and
well, no, they got bathhouses all over Sun and Fun. They got some real nice facilities
like the
there.
Ones at Oshkosh? You've got a little shower sprayer, like, from your kitchen sink to rinse off in.
Similar. But they
well,
work.
Yeah, it's something to ponder and consider, and, you know, Keith might be all for it.
Yeah. But you would not.
But Ed is not at all interested. Well,
what about Dennis using one of the planes? Is there like
we do have a rule that one of our staff has to be on board if it goes into Sun and Fun.
Yeah.
We don't rent airplanes to go into Sun and Fun.
That's what I was afraid of.
But we generally do send an airplane or two down any given season. That Maggie will take one down. And,
yeah.
You know, so that it's but my rule has to do with the fact that the traffic gets so busy at the entry point, and like last year when Maggie tried to fly in, or it was she didn't go last year, it was the year before, they were in a holding pattern for 2 hours, finally landed at another airport, waited for another 2 hours, and then were allowed to get in, and they barely made it in before the air show.
Really? What, just because it was so backed up?
Well, there was an accident on field, which put them in a holding pattern over Lake Parker. And so you're not guaranteed to be there.
Yeah.
And you got to pick the days right. You don't want to fly in on Saturday. or Sunday.
No, I don't want to.
Friday's not even good. You know, so Wednesday is a good day to fly in.
Well, and Wednesday,
but then you're
night,
not going to be able to do the night air show.
Because
you have to depart after the main air show before the night air show.
Well, you know, you fly in on Wednesday and fly out on Thursday.
Spend the night. See, that's what I'm saying.
Go glamping for a night.
Well, you're not going to glamp if you have to carry it in the back of a Cessna. There's just not enough weight.
Well, we know people. We could talk to Jim and Deb.
Yeah, I think their trailer's already over there. I did a landing over there the other day. I was looking. Their trailer,
got their spot?
I don't know if they've got their spot, but quite a few have already popped up over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's some good folks to know, though. Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, and they get, because they volunteer, they can get to move their trailer in early and get a good spot.
Right.
So what you need to do is you need to volunteer and work Sun and Fun.
Mm.
And that's not out of the realm of possibilities here. My employer is very big on volunteering time, so that would actually give me an excuse to take a day off of work.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Well, okay, you could do that. But
if we're going to do that, maybe Greg needs to get a one-way ticket to Minnesota here, and you can rideshare with me in the motorhome so I have a co-driver.
There you go.
I don't
No,
do that.
If you're not coming to Minnesota?
No. Okay. That's, Ed's threshold has to be at least 50.
It was 70 on Monday.
70, but that's jacket weather for
now,
me.
No, the
you
problem
hear what
is
I'm
it's
saying?
Going to be 5 degrees tomorrow, so...
Of course.
Sorry.
The truth comes out, which means no. Oh, hell no. Will I be doing that? So you fly down and then we'll go to Sun and Fun. We'll work out a plan here eventually.
All right. Coming
up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed and Dennis. Keith is off this week. You know, they go through shifts. Yeah, you know, how much can we tolerate Greg at any given month? So it's one on, one off kind of deal?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Dennis is in Minnesota, where tomorrow, with a wind chill, it'll be zero. There will be no weather tomorrow. There'll be no temperature.
I'm going to have to tell my sister that. She's from Rochester, and she's down here right now visiting the Mouse House, and I'll have to tell her what the temperature's going to be like when she gets home tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like you're going to go back to no temp. You're going to have nothing.
Yeah.
You're going back to nothing.
It's just not fair this time of year. They tease us. It's really nice. You're in T-shirts out for a walk, and the next day it's back to parkas.
Yeah. I love it. This is the time of year where we get to rub it into folks like you, Dennis. So, thank you for making our...
That's pretty much October to April, isn't it?
Yes, pretty much.
Now, there has been some aviation news, though, in your neck of the woods. So... what is this article you forwarded me about the small airports in Minnesota? What's going on up there?
I just saw that a group of mayors from all 50 states, and so it's not just Minnesota, but have drafted a letter to the U.S. House and Senate Transportation Committees basically opposing efforts to privatize ATC. And this is something that Keith has talked about a lot in the past, but they're just concerned that, you know, these small airports, while they may seem inconsequential in the greater picture of airline business, they don't want airlines to have a overly large amount of control in some private entity, you know, making decisions on how we spend money for upgrading air traffic control. They don't want them to get squeezed out.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think Keith's mindset on that has kind of changed. He used to be for it. Now he's like, yeah, they're probably right.
For what?
For privatization.
No, he never really was for private.
Well, he was kind of on the fence.
Initially, he was.
Yeah, in the beginning. But, yeah, he's changed his tune once he did a little bit more research on it. So I guess he's with those governors.
Yeah, I've never been for privatization. There is no way it will work.
just won't
it
work.
It will be very bad impact for general aviation. You just look at any country that's done it.
Well, there you
and
go.
And it's killed general aviation.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Scott Fitzgerald. You probably don't recognize me because I'm in corporate.
So am I. This is corporate.
Little too much so, if you ask me. I try to have fun, right? I mean, you know, we're not landing planes here.
Our company manufactures aircraft landing gear systems.
Yep, uh-huh. Well, I am going to fly us over a few more drinks.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes take off and fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed and Dennis helping us out as well today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we've been covering this story about Lantana Airport down there by Mar-a-Lago. President Trump's weekend workplace. it's creating quite a stink down there in South Florida because, Lantana Airport in particular, we've been talking about they've been trying to come up with a solution that maybe Secret Service would allow.
Yeah.
Operations, and they're talking about adding Homeland Security clearance at Palm Beach International or something down there, or what? It's one of the nearby airports.
Well, yeah, and it's...
They thought maybe that would be, to pacify some of the problems or issues.
Yeah, and
But Lantana is screwed, according to the Secret Service.
They said no.
It says it's 6 miles away from where the president hangs. We can't even allow you to take off there when he's in town because there's not enough response time available, I guess.
I have a solution.
You do? What would that be?
He should stay in Washington. He wanted the job.
Did you hear what...
he needs to stay where he's supposed to be.
Did you hear what Dennis just said about the weather? Are you going to make him suffer through no degree days?
I don't care.
Okay.
He wanted the job. We provide him a home and an office at a very stately address.
And we give him a weekend home, too.
Well, yeah, but he can't play golf up there. He has to come down here to play golf.
He's supposed to work, not play.
Well, regardless.
I mean, I'm expected to get by on 2 weeks of vacation
a year. He's not playing. Have you seen all the crap that comes out over the weekend? All those tweets? My God.
Maybe he should work so he doesn't open his mouth as much.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, we won't get too political. But he's not making a lot of friends down there in the aviation world by Mar-a-Lago, for sure.
He's going to cause a couple people that I personally know to go out of business.
Mm, that's not good.
Yeah, and it's not going to be much more than another weekend or two.
Yeah. I can't believe, though, that the Secret Service is being so, they don't seem to care, according to their quote or their comments that were released this week. It was just like, well, hey, sorry, screw you. We don't care. And, of course, they got a job to do. I understand that. But you would think they'd try to bend over backwards, like, okay, let's see if we can come up with a solution. I mean, that's what AOPA is pushing for.
Yeah.
And trying to, hey, what if we did this? Well, from the quotes I saw from the Secret Service or the response that was released, it was kind of like, well, we don't care. Yeah, that's not even something we're going to deal with.
Yeah.
Which just seems a little ridiculous.
Well, and this whole thing was just a knee-jerk reaction post 9/11 to say, hey, we're doing something. But where's the threat? There is no credible threat. They've never actually demonstrated that general aviation is a threat to VIPs. Yet they've imposed this 30-mile restriction with a 10-mile no-fly zone for what? There's like I said, there's no justification for it. And yet we have no recourse.
Well, you would think in these times of being able to use your cell phone to listen in on our conversations and, watch us when our TVs are off.
Oh, yeah, I saw that today.
Yeah, they'd be able to come up with some solution other than not letting the guys fly down there. Yeah, so,
but they're not restricting me from going and renting a U-Haul or, you know, something similar and driving right down the front street. You know, they're restricting law-abiding, vetted pilots from exercising their privileges.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, we agree, and so we've solved the problem. They just have to start listening.
Now they just have to implement it.
Yeah, or listen. I'm guessing they don't listen to us either. But well, regardless, we'll see where this goes. But that was not a very encouraging, you know, first response from Secret Service to address this problem down in South Florida. Now, another thing that caught my eye this week that I thought I'd throw it out there is, like, you know, we're always looking for fuel alternatives. You know, what could we, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, hybrid, you know, engines in our planes or electric vehicles, that kind of thing. That's one option. But, you know, biofuels was one that they were throwing out there for a while. Egypt, of all places, is evidently working through a process to grow a plant called the Jatropha. Jatropha. I don't know. Jatropha. Jatropha plant. And evidently, you know, it's like corn, I guess, like ethanol. But this will produce some kind of biofuel out of this Jatropha plant in Egypt, of all places. So they're like, hey, we got the solution. You know, the Mexican government is involved, and they're looking into this as well. And could this be the new big thing to solve, you know, and this would be, you know, producing a fuel for airplanes, too, which is kind of interesting. However, they figure that, let's see, if they were going to replace all the fuel they use in Egypt, for instance, I think it's Egypt, yeah. Let's see, they figured that it would take 445 square miles of Jatropha plants to create enough fuel in order to replace what they use currently. That's about the size of Texas, Colorado, New York, and Ohio combined. So they haven't
quite.
The nice
part is they don't need good farmland for Jatropha. That's one of the interesting things about this plant. It grows in really crappy soil.
Well, obviously, it's Egypt. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're looking at watering it with, like, sewage and things like that. You know, so it's a way to deal with, you know, less than pristine conditions to be able to get a usable fuel.
Yeah.
And the seeds are like 20-25% oil, so they don't have to go through like with ethanol, where you're taking corn and having to process the starch and then ferment it to finally get to alcohol.
Right.
Here they can directly extract oil from the seeds.
Yeah, but still, that's a pretty big footprint.
Oh, sure.
You know.
But how big was the ferns and plants and the dinosaurs that we've, you know, how much did they cover in years ago? Mm. We have to be able to offset some of that.
I wasn't there. I don't remember.
It wasn't that long, though.
Yeah.
But you're old, but not that old.
You know, maybe they'll incorporate some of those Epcot techniques that they have at the, you know, the Living Seas Pavilion there, you know, where they're having the plants grow in, like, vertical stalks with no soil. Hmm. Maybe they can figure that out and grow it vertically.
They can get it to grow in the desert there where conditions are really poor and, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but if they get 445,000 square miles of Jatropha plants, might be an issue. I'm just guessing that just isn't going to add up number-wise, at least not where it is right now.
No.
So no. They got to figure out a better way to produce this stuff.
But
if it's
going
to be viable. Well, yeah, you know, everything, yeah. It's a start, I guess. But I don't know. I guess I'm still thinking the electric vehicles and battery technology is probably going to be the leading edge of this stuff. That's where it's going already. So I think it's going to beat any potential biofuel breakthrough unless they can come up with something a little bit more efficient. Is it just me, think?
I think so.
Yeah. Or you agree, or you think it's just me?
I think it's you.
Oh, okay.
No, I agree that they're in, that they got to do something, but this is probably not going to be the be-all, end-all solution.
Yeah.
I'm you know, and that, you know, coming from an industry that's a heavy user of petroleum products and the prices and so forth, that, you know, we were looking at some replacement fuels and
right
and so on, that it is, it, but all of them are to a certain degree petroleum based.
Yeah. Well, Jutrofa, I mean,
would
is
be
that,
completely off the petroleum.
I just wonder what it looks like. It could it be a nice shrub that you could use in your yard?
Grow your own gas.
Yeah, maybe. God knows we have enough
kinda,
of it.
Kind of like on the Back
yard,
to the
though.
Future, the Mr. Fusion.
Oh, he just throws the garbage,
throw the garbage
in, the gas
in and it produces 1.21
gigawatts.
Right. Well, actually, some of that stuff has already happened. There's a boat that I'm aware of that a guy did that, and actually it runs on garbage or the fat from like a fryer or that kind of thing, or the fat from liposuction.
But that's
seriously,
just a regular diesel engine.
He used
his
own.
Just a regular diesel engine, though.
Well, yeah, but he sucked his own fat out of himself. Like, he did his own liposuction and ran the boat on that.
Okay, Greg.
Just plug it right up to your belly button, and it starts sucking right out of there, and you got fuel to spare.
Okay. You say so,
Greg. It's a win-win.
No, you say so.
Yeah, Google it. It's out there.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
It's sometimes referred to as the martini effect and has nothing to do with drinking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what it is and how divers avoid it next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
The martini effect is a slang term to refer to nitrogen narcosis, the physical and mental impairment experienced by scuba divers on deeper dives. Most divers don't feel the effects at 30 or even 60 feet. Everyone is different, much as some people get drunk more easily than others. But with increasing depth, you are much more likely to feel it. At 100 feet and deeper, you will definitely be affected, even if you're not aware of it. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Ed, and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Ed, do you like taking pictures of your food and posting it on Facebook? Are you one of those people?
Not really. I mean,
So you've done it.
I've done it with a good steak on the grill with the bourbon sitting next to it.
Okay, so like if you grilled it yourself, like exactly. Look what I'm having.
Not when it's on my plate, but when it's on the grill.
You're not one of those restaurant guys.
No.
Like, hey, here's a picture of my food.
But I'm not.
What do they call those? Is there
Foodies, I think.
Are those foodies? I didn't think those. I thought there was some kind of psychological disorder name.
I don't know. When my kids do, it's just angry students at the school lunch program.
It's true. Look what crap they're making us eat. No wonder we're dumber than rocks. Anyway, I'm not one of those people. I'm not a big fan of taking pictures of your food and posting it. I could care less what you had for lunch. You know, if you're grilling out and like, hey, thumbs up, and you get a, you know, selfie with your steak, I get that. But when you see those pictures of, you know, the plate of food, I'm like, what the hell? But then finally, someone may have converted me and turned it into a fun little game that I thought, okay, now maybe I could do this. There's some, you know, $100.
How does this relate to aviation?
Well, hang with me. You know, there's some there's some folks up in New England that have come up with a flying gourmet challenge.
Oh.
And so it's like a spin on the $100 hamburger kind of deal, you know, but instead of just taking pictures of your food for no reason and posting it on Facebook, they're turning it into a thing where you visit, like, you know, 7 participating joints, restaurants, aviation restaurants. And you, you know, post a picture at the place. They're not even telling you have to take pictures of food. I think they think that part's dumb, too.
Yeah.
So they're not making that a requirement. You just got to take a picture of yourself at the establishment, and then you post it on this Facebook thing. And then once you get all 7, you know, you get into a contest drawing for a big prize. You get a T-shirt and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm like,
so it's a food poker run.
Yeah, in a way, exactly. Yeah, sure. I mean, but it's like, you know, taking that picture of food thing to a whole new level. An aviation, a higher level, of course.
A whole new flight level?
Yes.
Flight level. Boom.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I like that idea. I could get on board with that.
Well, you know, it's kind of what the bourbon industry did.
Bourbon? Wait, you mean around and drink a glass?
No, you don't fly around, but you drive around to the different distilleries.
You drive around? Wait, that doesn't sound any better.
You bring a designated driver, but they call it the Bourbon Trail.
Uh-huh.
So this could be the airport flight plan or something, or a food flight plan.
Yeah, okay. Actually, the bourbon idea sounds pretty entertaining as well.
I haven't done it yet, but plan to next time I'm in Kentucky. I've gone to one. I've got one under my belt.
You fly me up there. I'll be the designated drinker.
No. And no.
You would need one of those, and no. I will volunteer my time.
You fly yourself up there via the airlines. Rent your own car.
Oh, no, I thought we were going to fly.
Fly what?
It's New England. He won't be going up there until midsummer anyway. It's too cold.
The bourbon's in Kentucky, so.
Let's do a flying bourbon run.
And it's horse season, so the races start in April, so I'll be up there in April.
We're going to document getting Greg good and liquored up.
You did that last week on the other show.
Well, I do that pretty much every week on that show.
Pretty much every week.
But I don't know. I mean, that does sound kind of fun. Mm-hmm. A bourbon run, but obviously the pilot can't drink, but, you know, that wouldn't keep me from doing it in the backseat. Right?
No. Can't allow it on the airplane.
No, I wouldn't drink it on the airplane. I'd drink it right before I got on the airplane.
Can't let you be on the airplane intoxicated.
If you're under the influence.
Well, how do you know I'd be under the influence? Maybe I can handle my liquor.
I don't know. Are your lips moving?
How do you think I get through this show every week?
So that's not coffee?
We do.
That's not coffee in that cup over there?
Nah, not hardly.
Irish coffee.
That's my medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do like the creativity of that.
Yeah.
It's
like I say, this would be great to do as a Just Plain Radio Florida challenge. Mm-hmm. That, you know, see who's listening in Florida and say, okay, Florida fans, let's see who can get these restaurants, you know, send us a picture with you having something to eat at these 7 Florida restaurants, so it encourages them to fly.
Wait a minute, hold on.
And then you can give them a Just Plain Radio hat.
No.
Or maybe make it landmarks in Florida. You got to photograph the Kennedy Space Center, the Mickey's Ears.
Oh,
well,
yes.
You could turn it into a scavenger hunt kind of thing. But I like the food thing from the standpoint, like, let's say, you know, they got to fly down to South Florida or down to the Keys and pick up some of, Miss Mac's key lime pie, right? And get a box of it and or get a whole pie and fly it back to Orlando where we're based and give it to us.
Or Weeki-Wachee, bring back some mermaid rum.
Ooh, yeah, that could do that. You know, this is like a spin on. It would be like Uber flights.
Okay,
you know, like what is it? Uber food or
Uber,
what is
Uber Eats?
Uber Eats.
Uber
we could
Eats.
Do Uber flight delivery for your crew here at Just Plain Radio. Some way we have to figure out a way to finagle something for us.
Speaking about the Space Center.
Yeah. What about
okay?
It?
And this isn't just for the Florida listeners. This is for anybody. There's still time to get into it. I believe it is April 23rd, which is a Sunday. They're having a 5K and a 10K race on the shuttle landing runway.
What, they're going to run up and down the runway?
They're going to run up and down the runway, and you're going to get a space shuttle race medallion for participating.
Wow.
Our girl Maggie found out about it last night. She already signed up for it.
Awesome. Will she pick me up one?
No, I think you got to actually go do it. I'm planning on walking it.
She could give me hers. If you're going to walk it,
you don't.
You
don't know Maggie very well, do you?
No.
She ain't going to give up her plane.
She won't talk to me. She knows better. And that'll do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.